Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Carpe diem. Seize the day. If you did not get up today thinking that you were going to seize the day, go after the day with maximum energy, then you need to listen to the show, because it just may be that the adrenal glands in your body are not optimal. We're going to do 60 minutes of knockout stuff on the adrenal glands, the most relevant stuff compiled from my 20 years of clinical experience, tons of books, all watered down, concentrated into a relevant 60 minutes for you. And again, if you didn't get up today with that kind of energy, there's something going on, and the first thing you got to look at is the adrenal glands. Much to my dismay, I don't think 95% of my audience even knows where the adrenal glands are. That's the purpose of the show. Not so much to tell you about the nutritional supplements. Dr. Bob takes care of that wonderfully. This is about the educational fundamentals to the supplementation. And without the fundamentals, the supplementation will stop at second base, and that's what we don't want. We want you guys to hit the home run so you can get up on a day like this and carpe diem, seize the day. That's Latin for seize the day. Okay. The relevant data. First of all, two types of people. A big neck, a thick jaw, big teeth, a wide palate. The kind of guy that, well, we call that the quintessential athlete, right? Athletes don't have small necks. They have big, thick necks. They have big, wide jaws. And if you go up and do this to yourself and your family, go up underneath the palate and see if the palate is wide or narrow. Does the palate go high up? And is the face and head narrow? Or does the palate go nice and broad and wide along with a big wide bite on top of a big fat neck? One of the few times being a fat head might be a good thing. But this is the quintessential athlete. The proverbial gorilla. The guy that can go all day, all night, male, female, not eat, not sleep, gets through the crisis, and just keeps going and doesn't ever fatigue. Until, of course, they drop dead at 50 from a heart attack, which is the other side of this type of person. I've known lots of people that fit this description. So do you. And it contrasts sharply with people who are more delicate. More delicate, a little bit more with the tendency to fatigue early. Under stress, they may get nervous. They may start to shake. They may start to sweat. This type of a contrast between these two types really is what we're talking about today. There are two different physiologies occurring. And so the first thing I want to do is attach this physiology to your physical experience of people. Who are you? One or the other, or somewhere down the middle? But you all know the extremes of these types. Okay, now, pit bulls. I'm going to give you another example. The pit bull, the dog. One of the reasons that pit bulls are known to be so ferocious is that when they bite, that's it. Once they lock onto you in a bite, they don't let go. Good thing and bad thing about this dog, right? Well, when you dissect out a pit bull and you check its adrenal glands, it has the adrenal glands the size of an elephant, meaning for its size proportionately, it has huge adrenal glands. And that's why that dog is so different than so many other dogs. So you get a sense of what we mean by the word adrenal gland and how it functions in your body. Now, just a little anatomy. These are two grape-size little pieces of flesh on top of your kidneys. They're tiny. All your glands are tiny. And the reason that they're, well, in a sense, the reason they're so potent is because anytime you say the word gland, in this case, adrenal gland, you're going to have an interaction between the chemical it makes and the core of your cell, the DNA. Glands make hormones. Those hormones prompt the core of the cell, the nucleus, the DNA, to initiate some sort of synthesis of a certain type of a chemical, of a protein. But this is a very DNA or core-oriented physiology in the cell. So you only need a little bit. We make unbelievably small amounts. I didn't get the stat on it, but I mean, it's just like in your whole life, you make a few drops of testosterone. It's unbelievable how tiny, how small the amount of hormone you make, and yet it does thousands and thousands of things in the body, as you'll see as we get into the adrenals today. All right, now the adrenal gland is broken down into two parts, the adrenal medulla. So you got these little pieces of flesh on top of your kidneys, the size of a grape or a little bigger, and they're broken down into the medulla and the cortex. The medulla on the inside of the gland, the cortex on the outside. We're going to focus on two hormones that come out of the adrenal gland, one from the adrenal medulla, which is called adrenaline, and the other from the adrenal cortex, which is called cortisol. And for those of you that know a little more, we're not going to talk about aldosterone today, which is another hormone that comes out of the cortex of the adrenal. So in the middle of the adrenal is the medulla. That's your adrenaline. And you guys all know that word, adrenaline. That's your mojo. That's where you get your pep from. That's how you go the second, that's where you get your second wind. And then there's the cortex, and you make your cortisol. That's the anti-inflammatory hormone, but I've got to make these things bigger to you. This thing about cortisol and as functions as an anti-inflammatory, it's understood very superficially. You've got to get your understanding way deeper on this, way deeper. Time magazine did an article a number of years ago on inflammation. On the cover of Time, it was this big word, inflammation, the inflammatory response as the driver for all disease. I'm sorry, I know it went over the head of most. Time was correct. The inflammatory response is what drives disease. No matter what disease you get, it begins in the inflammatory response. And your adrenal cortex makes the cortisol to shut that down. And we'll talk about that. Okay. Adrenaline. Adrenaline is supposed to be used occasionally. Cortisol a little bit more often, lower levels of it. But when you face crisis, your body's got to go into what we call the sympathetic mode. It means your body's got to shoot into dilation, into upregulation, into move the body, into release sugar into the blood, into increase the blood pressure, into increase the heart rate, into contract the muscles, into shut off digestion. My God, can you imagine? In the middle of an emergency, somebody's got to go to the bathroom. Have you ever noticed sometime, have you ever had that experience where you're sitting there at a restaurant enjoying yourself and something happens? And all of a sudden, your appetite is gone. You don't want to eat anymore. That's the emergency response that God put there, whereby the nervous system perceives a threat or a stress or something that causes you to go into sympathetic mode. And the first thing that happens is your medulla shoots out all this adrenaline and you handle it. Blood pressure goes up. Your blood vessels vasodilate. Your heart increases its beat. You start shooting lots of sugar into the blood. the liver dumps all of its glycogen. You get this burst of dynamic energy. But you've got to shut off the other systems. Now, the flip side of that is, one, do you have the adrenaline? The flip side of that is, are you in a state in your lifestyle where you're constantly being asked to pump out that adrenaline? So this is one issue we have to develop. The other issue is the cortisol, and I'm going to start to develop the cortisol side of this now. Every second of every day, with every single chemical reaction going on in your body into the umpteen trillionth numbers, is something occurring whereby the cell is being pecked away on. So if your cell is like a grape, and the front door of your grape, meaning the skin of that grape, is being hit relentlessly by invaders, it's going to take pieces out of that front door, pieces out of the skin of that grape. That's what's going on every single day at an astronomical pace. Now, the minute you take out cortisol, you don't stop the inflammatory response that occurs as a result. Meaning what? Meaning every single time a tissue in your body gets hit with something, a little signal goes out into the space outside the cell that starts to trigger through the immune system an inflammatory response with inflammatory chemicals like histamine and the bradykinins and the prostaglandins and all these different inflammatory chemicals in response to these free radical hits or these toxicological hits or these infectious hits on the cell. And this is going on, I want to constantly emphasize, kaleidoscopically, in other words, like explosions into outer space at astronomical speeds. And just as the police department gets called in at the beginning of this inflammatory cascade, just before it turns into a full-blown riot, a war, a nuclear holocaust, comes cortisol. And cortisol shuts down the inflammatory response. It slows it down. It cascades it down. It creates law and order. It stops the little fire from becoming a huge bonfire. Now, the minute you don't have that, you have too much cell death. The cell, looking at itself and seeing little bits of it and pieces of it chipped away, will start to go cuckoo. And ultimately, it will signal its own death, its apoptosis. So you got to understand, in the absence of cortisol, you have deterioration of the body. And later on, we're going to complicate this by pointing out, if there's too much cortisol, we're going to have deterioration of the body. But when we say your adrenals are stressed, one of the things we mean is not that you can't stand up and save the baby from the burning building. That's the adrenaline response. You can be in cortisol hell. You can be shot on so many levels in terms of cortisol. You can be suffering from imbalanced levels of cortisol, and at the same time, you can give it one more kick for the gipper. You can muster up all the adrenaline you need to get the job done. So they're two different things. But right now we're on this cortisol thing and its relationship to disease. If cortisol is too low, if you can't get enough of it produced when you need it, you can't shut down the inflammatory process. And there is no disease histologically, pathologically, when you study the journey of the cell from the fresh, healthy cell all the way to the diseased cell. There is absolutely no step along the way that didn't need suppression of the inflammatory response, because inflammation ultimately lays down scar tissue. Inflammation lays down scar tissue.